Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the chapter often referred to as the resurrection chapter. We read the final three verses of that chapter. St. Paul writes by inspiration, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. The only time in my life that I have ever roofed a house, within about a half hour of beginning that work, when I was up on the roof, and it was what they call an unwalkable roof, suddenly a man who was working a little higher up the roof from me began to slide off the roof all the way off the house. Turned out, luckily, he hit the ladder, harmed his arm very badly, but was not killed. But I remember the response in myself, the kind of chill that ran up my spine and the back of my neck, and the fear that I had of watching him slide past me so close, within inches of me. And it made me not only fearful for him, but also for myself. It kind of brought to reality the possible danger that I was facing as well. It made me think about people that work on construction projects, on large skyscrapers, or maybe on bridges when they're being built, and they see a coworker fall to his death. Just how difficult that must be, the double impact of that tragic event, to not only witness and watch a death so close and firsthand, but also the notion in yourself that this is my future, potentially. This is something that could be happening to me. They claim that during the construction of the Golden Gate Bridge from the years 1933 to 1937, during the Great Depression, people were up as high as 700 plus feet in the air, and this bridge spanning about 4,000 feet and so on. They claim that it was such dangerous work that unemployed men who were not part of the project would stand at the foot of the bridge just waiting to see if anybody fell off to their death so they could replace them. And 11 did fall and die during the construction of that bridge. The text before us talks about the sting of death. Paul uses a very interesting word there, the sting of death, kind of the biting nature of it. Just like the sting of the bite of a snake. It not only is the hurt that punctures the skin and that pain, but it is also the lingering venom that it leaves. It has sort of a double impact, if you will. It's hard for us when death strikes around us to watch somebody else die. It's hard for us to deal with the impact of that loss of life in either our own families or watching it hurt the people around us. But the double impact of it is that it also, we recognize that there is also that venom in us has been left in our veins because of the fall into sin, because of the sin that is in all of us. The wages of sin is death. There's a recognition in us when we see death around us that is my future. On Good Friday, the serpent, the evil foe, opened his jaws wide and dug his fangs into the flesh of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus, and punctured his body with the venom of death, stinging him. And he took that bite, if you will, for us because of our many sins. And there Satan released into his sacred body all of his evil juices that caused death. But on Easter, our Lord Jesus again came back to life, revivified in his grave. And he triumphantly rose to go and pronounce his victory over the devil, that he had crushed the head of the serpent. And he now turns and gives the victory of his resurrection to every one of us through his word and sacraments. He himself has become the very antidote to that venom of death that is in us. And by faith in him, trusting in him, we possess that. And he distributes this antidote of us to us through his grace and his means of grace. St. Paul says he gives us the victory, God does now, through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an awesome line, isn't it? He gives us the victory. Think what that means. He gives you the victory over your death through Christ. Christ has defanged your future death. He has taken away the bite and the sting of it by his own glorious resurrection. And it's just amazing to think that you now possess that simply by this tiny little thing in you called faith. Faith, the thing that holds on to Christ and says, he died for me. He paid for my sins. He is my righteousness before God. He is my hope and my resurrection. That tiny little thing inside of you that holds on to your Savior, that realizes you need him desperately, and that loves what he's done for you, that little activity in your heart that nobody can find with a microscope, that beats your grave. That beats death. Think what that means. It beats death. And you have it right now. You possess that power right now because of what Christ has done. And the mission of the church in this world is simply this: to make you and others death defiers, to defang death for people. And this victory that Christ has won for us is why people like us can stand over the graves of our loved ones and to sing hymns that sound like we just won a war, that sound like our favorite team just won the Super Bowl, that we can stand and sing these hymns of triumph. I remember at my mom's funeral singing the beautiful hymn, "Like the Golden Sun Ascending." And there's a line in that hymn that every time I sing it, it's just such an awesome line. It says, "Death itself is transitory. I shall lift my head in glory." Here we are staring at the dead body of our loved ones going into the ground, and we can stand because of Christ and say that. Death itself is transitory. It's just a passing crossing. I shall lift my head in glory. When the Golden Gate Bridge was being built, the designer of the construction process decided to actually put a safety net beneath the bridge that would hopefully catch any of the workers up on that bridge. And sure enough, at least 19 men had their lives spared falling into that net. And the man who came up with that net had done so not simply to save their lives, which was his primary concern, of course, that he would spare their lives. But he knew that it also would give the workers a different sense about their work. It would permit the workers to now have a different approach and to look at their work differently and to have a renewed confidence about what they would do so high up in the air. The resurrection of your Lord Jesus Christ from his grave has given you the victory over your future death, has given you personally the promise of your own revivification, your own body coming back to life again. That's an awesome thing. That's the primary reason why Christ has gone about putting in the safety net of the resurrection. It has eternal consequences for you. But he knows and has designed this net of the resurrection in your life also for present day consequences. That it can have a present day impact on how you look at life, how you look at what you do with your life, how you look at what you do with your money, how you look at what you do with your talents and with your time, how you view your work in this world and what happens to you in your life. It gives you a renewed confidence and a renewed hope that no matter what you have to face, even if it's cancer next year, no matter what you have in front of you, no matter what difficulties or trials you may be placed through, you have the safety net. And you can go about the work of your life, in particular the work of God's kingdom, in a completely different way, with an entirely new confidence. Listen to Paul's words again. Therefore, looking at the resurrection, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen.